Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not on an ideological, philosophical basis, not on a denominational rites, rules, rituals, and regulations basis, but simply what does the Word of God say? And let me remind our listeners, perhaps if you listen on a daily basis, you understand that if we talk about anything that is called political, that it's actually a biblical concept, because God created the home, He created government, and He created the church. So anything we talk about on those three categories, areas of speech, is all covered as central biblicist truth. And we think about speaking on issues, we need to recognize that whether it's your life or mine, we all are faced with issues. Some call them problems or difficulties. I prefer to call them issues. And we're all faced with issues. As we are faced with issues, may I remind us we need to do so based on what the Scripture says. Jesus told His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then He said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we want to look at issues today based on truth, not some bias or some ideological philosophy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today banning the First Amendment. You heard that right. Banning the First Amendment. And that's what multitudes are trying to do today. They do not address it on that basis. But ladies and gentlemen, we hear about a battle over Christian cake bakers and Christian florists and Christian video studios and Christian wedding planners and all supposedly refusing to serve the sodomite couples for unbiblical, unholy weddings. Stop seeing it just as a Christian individual in their services. But rather, I would challenge us to look at these issues based on what the Constitution says, and especially our First Amendment and the Bill of Rights. It is a First Amendment issue. It is not an issue about whether or not that cake baker should bake a cake or whether or not the florist maker should make a flower arrangement for a sodomite wedding. It's a matter of the First Amendment rights. You see, the freedom of religion and the freedom of religious speech are all protected under our First Amendment. And we recognize the protections that we have under our First Amendment. We need to realize that if we surrender that, we've surrendered our right to speak as Christians and as free people. Here's an article that says, "This is a fight for the First Amendment, not against gay marriage." And it's dealing with the Jake Phillips and the cake baker that the Supreme Court just gave a wonderful ruling, a 7-2 ruling. But this article says, for one thing, no matter how many times people repeat it, the case isn't about discrimination or challenging gay marriages. This is an impulse to frame every issue as a clash between the tolerant and the closed-minded. But the masterpiece cake shop doesn't challenge or undermine or in any way reiterate same-sex marriage in America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that's a very well-stated article, because that's what we need to recognize, is that we're dealing with our First Amendment rights, the freedom of speech. In fact, we have colleges and universities today across America that have carved out little bitty spaces that they call free speech zones. I am absolutely incensed over that mindset. And it's permeated all of our colleges, universities in America today. the free speech zone. And those zones are generally limited spaces and places established by the schools where a student is allowed only in those spaces to talk about religion or to talk about political issues, and especially if it's an issue that is against the standard of those that are in charge in that school or that university. Ladies and gentlemen, the free speech that we have is being intimidated and challenged today as no other time. Here's an article that says, Assembly votes to violate the First Amendment. And it's the bill that's in California. It is the AB 2943, bans books, conferences, counseling, advocating Muslim, Jewish, and Christian views on gender and sexual orientation. The California Assembly approved a bill 50 to 18 that calls churches, that tells churches and other traditional beliefs about gender and sexual orientation that advocating for their views about this bill, and if they do, they will be sued. AB 2943 declares advertising offering to engage in or engaging in sexual orientation changes or efforts to change with an individual is illegal under the state's consumer fraud law. The state of California has no right to deny its residents the resources to help them find happiness or to shut down counselors and schools and religious organizations that provide those services. But that's exactly what's happening in California. And yet, there are multitudes of people today that are looking at that. Well, that's the right of the government to form, to set up a law that will ban certain things, because after all, you shouldn't be against sodomite marriages. You shouldn't be against Islamic takeover and the jihadist movement that's permeating society today. And so there are a lot of Christians that are not recognizing the handwriting on the wall as to what's taking place subtly, but incrementally across our nation. Listen, and listen well. Suddenly and incrementally across our nation, we're having our religious liberties and the freedom of speech, our First Amendment rights that are being eroded, curtailed, and banned. And we're sitting in silence for the most part. And you might say, well, why are you saying that to me? If you're listening today and you're involved in ministry, and I pray that you are, if you're listening today and you're a moral, ethical person, if you're listening today and you're a Christian, you need to understand the freedoms and the privileges and the rights that we have as American citizens under our Constitution. I'm delighted to have us today at the microphone of Let's Face the Issues, Daryl Kane. Daryl was with us just a few days ago, and we had an opportunity to have some dialogue and discussion by way of this broadcast. He's a political activist. He's a public speaker, radio personality. He's the author and presidential candidate now for 2024. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in and through him. His book, Cultural Cancer, Treating the Disease of Political Correctness. And I think it couldn't have been better stated than the title that he has on his book. We're looking at the cancer, and cancer erodes and tears down and destroys, but it's the cultural cancer that's eroding. Daryl, thank you for being with us today. Delighted to have you on the microphone with us for Let's Face the Issues. Tell us where you are. Tell us a little bit, first of all, about yourself, about what you're doing. What is your passion? Why are you so passionate about our Constitution and about where we are in America, the American political system? Why are you willing to put yourself out there for a future race in the political system in America? Tell us something about that and how it interlocks with and goes with our First Amendment right and what we're talking about today.
Well, again, it is a tremendous honor to be a guest on your program, and the work that you're doing here is so important because, as we talked about it at great length, so many pastors and so many churches are being intimidated into abandoning the gospel and the Word of God. And when there are so many avenues, you know, towards darkness, when people really can't even turn to the church for truth, it's a very sad time, very sad and appalling the state that we see when we look around, where artists with, you know, urine sculptures of Christ have more, quote unquote, artistic liberty than pastors have freedom of speech to speak the gospel. Pertaining to, you know, my work and my campaign and my beliefs, I've grown up in an age where the truth just hasn't been spoken. And we've been watching for decades, and just watching people by maybe touch on issues, by using other proxy issues, but the truth is still not being spoken. And I feel called upon by God to speak the truth.
Amen.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to speak it as loud as I can for as long as I can before they shut me up.
Yeah.
And I can't promise any outcomes. That's between God and the American people. What I can promise you is that I will fight for you. And I will never turn back from the fight. I will confront these people right on for what they're doing. We do, in fact, and you talk about that the state, that there should not be a state religion. We in fact do have a religion of the state, and that is political correctness. Okay, there is a term for a society where the predominant attitudes of government officials are actively enforced through culture and academia, and that term is fascism.
Yes.
Okay, and what we're seeing is politically correct fascism. Satanic theocracy in places like California, the Bible actually being criminalized in the state of California. You know, we want to talk about the double standard. Here we are talking about a Christian baker, you know, refusing to bake a cake. And then meanwhile, we have the CEO of Starbucks proclaiming across the internet that, you know, if you have traditional views of marriage, don't bother coming to Starbucks.
Would you repeat that, Daryl? I don't know that our listeners are aware of how biased Starbucks happens to be against anything that's called morals and ethics and values.
That's right.
And Christian liberties.
That's right.
So speak that one more time for our listeners to let it sink in.
That's right. The CEO of Starbucks has said that if you have traditional views on marriage, don't come in. We don't want your business. Right. I mean, and how more stark of an environment. And this sort of arrogance, by the way, I mean, this is certainly a pinnacle example of it. But these are the views of the corporate CEOs all across the country. And this is one of the things that the left is still playing in this paradigm. Like they're the liberals. They are the liberals, that they're the rebellion. You know, they want to pretend that the world is still being run by gym teachers with buzz cuts that are bullying kids and making them do push-ups. They've been in authority for 30 or 40 years. Okay, they control the academic institutions. They control business. They control the media. Their attitudes are reflected all across the world. And this is, in fact, one of the things that I do find encouraging, that we have culturally had such a depressing past several decades. But it is human nature for youth to rebel against authority. That occurs. And finally, what we're seeing is that the youth is finally rebelling against it, because they're looking, they're turning on the TV. They're saying, wow, this guy's got the same views as my teacher. He's got the same views as my parents. And he's got the same views as the people that are selling me products. Maybe these attitudes aren't so hip anymore. Now, we talk about the millennials. The millennials are largely lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they grew up in the, and this sort of my generation grew up in just the pinnacle of the brainwashing. But the next generation, this Generation Z, these 20 and unders, I talk specifically to a lot of young men when I travel across the country, and they're fired up, and they're angry, mm-hmm. and they're turning back into things like faith and the word,
yes.
which is what we need to be doing. And that's really the only way that we have a future. And I talk to libertarians about this a lot, and I have a lot of respect for libertarians. I have a lot of respect for the Constitution, which I feel is a divinely influenced document. But the situation is so severe that if we just put the brakes on all of these crazy things going on, and we have a quote-unquote ceasefire on cultural issues – that's kind of an absurd concept to begin with. But if we were to just have that, we're still as a nation completely toast in 10, 20 or 30 years by the gravity of what's in place. It's not enough. And I talked about this last time. It's not enough to just stop. We have to stop fighting for neutral. We have to actually reclaim our civilization. And that reclamation has to be done in the banner of Christendom. That's the only way that we're going to unite this country.
It is reclaiming our nation as a nation that was founded on biblical godly principles.
That's right.
And therefore we have our Constitution that is evidence of that. And you state that, and I think about just a few years back, I believe it was in 2014, when it came to a crescendo in Houston, Texas, where through a lesbian mayor and the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance that was passed there, the pastors were silent. The pastors said nothing, did nothing. The ordinance was passed. And when the pastors realized the danger of it, they started speaking about that from the pulpits. And then immediately the lesbian mayor started having the pastor's speeches, the pastor's messages from the pulpits subpoenaed. And it was only then that the pastors awakened and grew a spine to say something and do something about it. And as a result of that, that whole process was overthrown in Houston, Texas. And so what you're saying is, and as I hear you, I am concerned because we have so much silence from those that are in pulpits today.
That's right.
Silence from those in spiritual leadership. And if we're going to take America back, if we're going to fight, and it's the battle that ought to be understood as the right battle, if we're going to fight for truth, if we're going to fight for right, we need to understand that we need to be salt and light in the society in which we're in.
That's right. That's right. We find ourselves in this really sort of bizarre animal farm environment where, you know, all are equal, but some are more equal than others. And we keep getting these new sets of protections to protect these new sort of victim groups. And you talk about the, you know, the LGBT community. They have – we have sort of falsely allowed them to use a civil rights blueprint to defend behaviors. Okay, it is completely different to preclude someone from entering your business because they're black than it is to preclude them from entering your business because they're not wearing a shirt. And it is not the same. A lifestyle choice, which is what we are talking about, yes. A lifestyle choice is not the same as, you know, your racial or your gender-based reality. And now with the transgenderism, speaking about gender, we have something that doesn't just fly in the face of, you know, biblical reality. It flies in the face of scientific reason.
Yes.
You know, we have it's, these are people that tell us that we're the ignorant Bible thumpers and they're the people of science. And yet they've created an entire victim group for something, you know, that flies completely in the face of reality. And people say, OK, well, what does that matter? What does it matter if we have a set of protections for people that are, you know, transgendered? Transgendered essentially is a person that has a personal reality that is completely contradictory to the reality that everybody else observes.
Yes.
And that rather than, you know, having a system that enforces them to move past that, we actually demand at gunpoint that society conform to their reality. What does this mean for you? Well, this means, you know, let's say that you're a single mother. And, you know, I talk a lot about keeping intact families in place, and that is what we need. But this reality, you're a single mother, and, you know, you're to make ends meet, you're trying to rent out a second room in your home. And, you know, someone applies to your house and it's a man that has just surgically mutilated his genitals and he wants to move in. And you're not really allowed to say, actually, I don't feel comfortable having you in the home with my 4-year-old daughter, having just, you know, surgically removed your genitals. That's an act of discrimination. Right. So we give all of this teeth, and that's really what these new sets of laws are about. It's about providing teeth to the various victim groups empowered by the left that they can use against us.
Yes.
It's ammunition.
It's literally designed to force the moral, ethical Christian community across America to embrace, not only to recognize it, but to embrace and to be tolerant with that.
Correct. And this is – I refer to this as the Obama doctrine, which is that if I can somehow construe someone to be a victim group – everything else goes out the window to quote unquote defend them. And one of my talking points is wherever you hear the left calling for fire or discrimination, look in the opposite direction for the actual fire.
Good statement.
Right? When they say that, you know, the LGBT community is under assault, the real victims are the church. When you talk about, you know, Black Lives Matter, the real victims are law enforcement, right? When you talk about a war on women, the real war is on the fatherhood.
Yes.
And, you know, we're so far away from having an appropriate dialogue that we've been engaging them. And no, we're not sexist. We're not racist. We get so we spend so much energy fighting their false charges that they're just knifing us, okay, as a movement, as a party, and as a culture. And it's going completely undefended. And it's been going on for decades. And it's really – it's unacceptable.
Well, as someone said on one occasion, Daryl, and hearing you, I equate it in the same fashion. So many years as Christians, we've been fighting these issues when the real battle is at the foundation, at the very formative foundation of what the Scripture says and what is family and what is constitutional. We're looking at the foundation being eroded, and yet all of these others are just peripherals that we're looking at and we're doing battles on.
Correct. I mean, if I wanted to destroy a nation nonviolently, you know, and I couldn't, you know, drop bombs or send troops in. the first two things I would do is I would attack their faith and their family.
Faith and the family.
You know, and that's been completely destroyed in this country to where we still have a loose Christian base. But as you state so eloquently, it's been watered down to such a degree that it's essentially meaningless. You know, and the people are coming in to get a pat on the back. And I suppose it's better to have them coming in and getting a pat on the back and you know, hearing a little bit of word sprinkled in with some nonsense. But if that word isn't challenging them to improve, you know, it's really not ultimately doing what it needs to be doing.
One of the things, Daryl, in you saying that, we find the brainwashing and the getting acclimated to acceptance of these things early on in our schools in particular. And I shared earlier an illustration of not too many years back, a young lady in one of the schools here in Duval County. She was in kindergarten. And during the lunchtime, the teacher came by, and the little young lady, the little girl, had her head bowed. And the teacher said, "Honey, what are you doing?" And she said, "I'm praying, thanking Jesus for my food." And the teacher screamed so that all in the lunchroom could hear it and said, "You can't do that. This is federal property. You cannot pray on federal property." And that is basically an illustration, if I may, of what's taking place on a national level in our schools, where students are told, "You can't have a Bible, you can't pray, you can't say anything religious." In fact, recently I was reading an article about a student in college. We had written a paper, and he was presenting it in the classroom, and he happened to mention about his close relationship with Jesus. And the professor screamed out, "We are not interested in your religion in this classroom. Take your religion out of the classroom." And he tried to explain himself, and the teacher summarily dismissed him and turned him over to one of the committees on campus to examine whether or not he should remain on campus as a student there. It's basically banning anything that is called religion, religious free speech, and our constitutional rights of religion, as we have that religious right and freedom in America. It's being abridged in our schools. Right. In fact, I find it fascinating that Orrin Hatch of Utah, a bill to protect campus from free speech zones introduced in the U.S. Senate. On Wednesday, Senator Orrin Hatch, Utah, announced that he was introducing legislation to protect free speech on campuses. The bill, called the Free Right to Expression in Education Act, would prohibit public institutions of higher education from in any way traversing free speech in any small or misleading label free speech zone on their campuses. If enacted, the measure would free tens of thousands of public university students from the restriction of unconstitutional free speech zones. We're talking about, Daryl, we're talking about our First Amendment right in particular.
Yeah.
And if that First Amendment is banned, eroded, or shredded, as you use the term, all of the other amendments we have are just simply null and void.
Right. And the situation in the academic environment is just completely appalling from top to bottom. You know, we've talked about that quite a bit. I mean, it is a great example. They get away with so much. I mean, they have, you know, a treasonous and a sexually abusive curriculum that they are subjecting our children to from the age of 5 until the time they get out of college. And when you talk about these college environments where we have these quote unquote safe spaces, every professor is – every classroom, every topic, every course is being dictated by these radical views. You know, you'll be sitting there in an algebra course or in PE, and you'll be getting lectured on social issues by your professor. And on top of it, in spite of this environment where conservatives and Christian students are intimidated from writing their term papers about things that they feel passionately about because they know that their professor isn't professional enough to not talk about Donald Trump during, you know, an AP Lit course, how could they trust them to grade their paper appropriately? And on top of it, when these people that are pushing this wildly abusive environment turn around and say, on top of this, we need even safer spaces for liberal attitudes, right? I mean, where's the safe space for the conservative
it's
on the
campus?
The
snowflake zone.
The snowflake zone, exactly, exactly. So if you're a conservative, you're not only insulted from dawn until dusk and being told to just hide all of your views about everything. But then on top of it, now you're being told that additional protections need to be placed for the very people that are persecuting you and pushing you down. It's appalling.
Yes.
It's appalling. And Hollywood is unacceptable. But Hollywood at least is free market. The academic institutions are largely funded by the taxpayers. And the fact that we've allowed our taxpayer dollars to be weaponized against our own children, to radicalize them against their own nation, is completely unacceptable.
And that's the term that's correct, radicalizing. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, I've gotten so caught up and involved in our dialogue and discussion today with Daryl Cain that I failed to remind you. You can call us at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We still have a few minutes left in this broadcast. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today as our guest on Let's Face the Issues. Daryl Cain is a political activist, public speaker, radio personality. He's author of a book, Cultural Cancer, subtitled Treating the Disease of Political Correctness. He's presidential candidate for 2014, and we've had the privilege of having wonderful dialogue and discussion with him. Daryl, in the few minutes that we have left, let me ask you to do this. First of all, two things. We're talking about the First Amendment, and that is the religious liberty, the freedom of speech, but it's been, watered down, where the courts have decided that it's a freedom of expression.
Yeah.
Tell us the difference in that term. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe you've heard anything about any court decisions on the First Amendment. You've heard the term freedom of expression, and yet that's not what our Constitution says. That's not what the Bill of Rights say. That's not what the First Amendment addresses. Tell us the difference in that.
Yeah, well, not only watered down, but it's been weaponized, and it's become a very important freedom of speech, our most fundamental right and most important right. That First Amendment has basically become something that some have and others don't. And, you know, that's beyond the point where we need to even talk about artistic expression. We have a situation where artists, people like Quentin Tarantino, are able to put essentially snuff films in front of millions of people across the country. And, you know, no one bats an eye, and we cheerlead for their quote unquote artistic liberty. But pastors speaking the word of God are persecuted. And, you know, that's completely for a society to be in that environment where truth is criminalized and, you know, ugliness and decay is promoted wall to wall. That is just simply not a sustainable model. So the conversation about, you know, what freedom of speech versus freedom of expression, this was a meaningful dialogue to have several decades ago. We're at a point right now where we just have complete rampant social chaos, and we just need to clean things up. And we need to be proactive. We need proactive leadership. So I'm not as interested in hearing about artistic liberty, about things like pornography and, you know, violent movies and video games. We have a generation of children that have never even stepped outside to throw a football to their neighbor, and they're plugged into World War II simulations online, completely desensitized to reality. You know, and going and looking at pornography, they don't even know how to interact with members of the opposite sex.
And this is one of the causes for our massacre that we're seeing on our school campuses.
Exactly. It's the main cause. Yes. And then we in fact have it's a two-pronged thing. There is, of course, the issue of the weapon, but then there's also the issue of the individual. And the left has zero interest in ever discussing the individual. We have a broken society. A broken society leads to broken people, and broken people leads to these incidences.
Daryl, thank you so much for telling us something in these last few minutes that we have, the last seconds that we have today. Tell us something about yourself, your organization, what you're doing, how people can become involved, and how they can reach you and plug into what you're doing.
That's right. So we are involved on the Right Wing Road Trip with Daryl Cain. I'm available on social media through Daryl Cain, Revenge of the Patriot. We have an aggressive, proactive platform. We're tired of fighting for neutral. We need to prosecute the academics. Academic reform starts with prosecution. The American people need boots on the ground in Hollywood. We need a complete moratorium on all immigration from non-Christian nations and non-Christian refugees. And we need a cultural cleanup. We need to remove the pornography, and we need meaningful standards on art.
And tell us again now, in the last 30 seconds we have, how people can reach you, how they can plug in. Give clearly and concisely your web address, your contact information, and recite again who you are and what you're doing.
Go to Daryl at revengeofthepatriot.com. That's the site, revengeofthepatriot.com. The podcast is Right Wing Road Trip with Daryl Cain, and I'm available on all social media platforms. The book is Cultural Cancer, Treating the Disease of Political Correctness. Reach out to me. I'll be happy to get you a free copy. I did not write the book to make money. I want to spread the word.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to joining you once again on the air tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.